Now you are listening to Family Skeleton. Finally, my first episode, here we go. And I just want to say that thanks for all the support from you guys before I even launched my first episode, and I'm really excited to see this going. But before we start today, I want to say Happy Father's Day to everyone. I hope you guys are having a good time with your family, celebrating together. I chose today to release my first episode because my first episode is about a story of how did I find out who my real dad is. And I separated this episode into two. So this week will be part one, like you are listening to the part one. And then next Friday, I will release part two. Again, if you want to share your own story on Family Skeleton, you can write us an email and you can find our email account in the description. Also, if you have any suggestion, you can either leave a comment on Apple Podcasts or Google Form. And I will stop nagging about everything for now. Let's just get into the topic. Today, I have one of my friends who also has fucked up family. His name is Alex, and he knows pretty much everything about me. So I invited him to do this episode with me on Father's Day, since he's also a father himself. So I want to say Happy Father's Day, Alex.
Well, thank you. it's good to be here, Iris.
Yeah, I hope you will enjoy recording this episode with me.
I'm sure I will.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So this episode, we're going to talk about how did I find out who is my real dad? So I think you know pretty much the whole story, but should we just start talking about it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the best thing would be if you just kind of introduced your family situation.
Yeah. Okay. I would do it. All right. So I had a really good family when I was a kid. And then I went to boarding school for acrobatics. Then when I was 14, my parents, like, they were always arguing. And then they split up. And then my mom kind of hates my sister's father. But I didn't know that my sister's father was not my real dad. Then she decided to tell me the story when I was 14. And then she used that to get revenge on my sister's father.
So did you not know who your real father was at this time?
I didn't know. It was before I turned 14, I didn't know. Like, he joined my life when I was probably 1 or 2 years old. Like, I was too young to remember anything.
Yes.
So he was always there. He was always there with me.
And so your sister's father was someone else. Like, that's
pretty, yeah, weird. Yeah, it's like my birth dad, and then he never, well, I don't remember anything about him. My birth father, I don't really remember anything about him.
So then why, when you're 14, then what made your mother decide, you know, to tell you the truth about what was going on?
Oh, like, she, like, they had a big fight, and then, well, my mom has depression, and she always think in a really special way compared to normal people. So then she was like, I think that she was saying something that your dad is not a good person. And for me, because as a kid, I think for everyone, you just love your parent no matter what. So I was kind of defending my sister's father in front of her. And then she just, something just got into her mind. She was like, he's not even your real dad. Like, why are you protecting him like that?
Whoa.
Yeah, she was quite mad about it. Like, she was like, oh, he's not even your real dad. And then I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, was your mother keeping in keeping in communication with both your stepdad and your real dad then?
Yeah, actually, yes, they were still talking, like, after. So I found out my mom was actually, so my birth father had a family. Well, he still has the family with his wife. And then he met my mom, and then he had an affair with my mom. So I'm basically a bastard daughter, like, yeah. And then my mom decided to have me without him knowing. And then, yeah, here I am.
Wow.
A surprise.
Yeah, it's a surprise.
Surprise. Yeah. Well,
so your real father then had a family mm-hmm. elsewhere, and so he didn't even know that that your mom gave birth to you.
He didn't even know, but he knew. After my mom gave birth to me, he knew finally, right? He heard about it. And then he was trying to bring me in to his family with his wife. So he asked my mom if he can just like adopt me, not really adopt me, it's like bring me back to his family. And then my mom was saying something like, no, that's my kid.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And my mom was like, that's my kid. I don't want her to call anyone else mother.
Yeah. So then your stepdad then got involved, and he is who you'd consider your actual dad.
Yeah, he considered me his like his own daughter. Like, he's perfect. Like, I would say he was always there. Like, he will do anything like what a father would do. Like, bring me to acrobat, bring me to Diablo class on Sundays. Showed up at family like orientation.
Yeah, doing all the stuff that a dad should do, it seems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was not a perfect dad, but I would say he at least got like 75 out of 100.
35 out of 100?
75. 75 is not bad.
Yeah, that's bad. I don't know about that. And so then your relationship with your mom and your stepdad, how is that?
No, my mom and my stepdad. So another thing happened. Well, so my mom has like mental issue, right? So she just keep doing something that I don't understand why she keeps doing it. So I think right now I'm kind of mad at my mom, and my relationship with my birth dad, we talk. Well, not really, but like we talk, and then we will have dinner. Before it was like once a month, but right now just once every 6 months or mm-hmm. a year. So like I haven't seen him this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how has that been, keeping that relationship going? Do you feel that that's been hard for you as you've been growing up?
I think so, yeah. At first, my mom told me because she wanted to change. You know, like on Taiwanese identity, you will have your father's and your mother's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom told me because she wanted to change that to my birth dad, because she hates my sister's dad so much that she wanted to change that.
What happened with that? Why it seems like...
really fucked up situation.
Yeah, it seems fucked up. Your sister's younger than you, and the dad is arguably more in your life. Why does your mom have such a problem with him and still have such a connection to this man who has a family?
I think they were investing something. I think a lot of problems come with like when money is involved.
Yes.
So yeah, obviously like they were both in debt. Well, they are still in debt. And then they were always arguing about money, about housing, but basically everything. And then my mom had an affair with another guy, which is her ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
And my dad also my sister's dad also had an affair with another woman at the time.
Wow, there's a lot of affairs going on in this household.
Spicy, right? Like
spicy household over here.
Yeah, so they hated each other, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago was this?
When I was 14, so it's like 6 years.
This secondary affair happened when you were 14.
Yeah.
Okay. and so from that, then it seems like your mom was using you in some way to get revenge on your dad.
Yeah, the first one, the biggest revenge is probably, oh, I'm gonna tell your daughter that you're not her real dad. So she did, yeah. And then she was expecting me to abandon my sister's father.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out that I just didn't give a fuck.
Did it affect your opinion in any way of either your real dad or your stepfather?
No, actually not. Because like when I heard about it, you know, my first question was, so how tall is my birth dad?
The important stuff, get that out of the way first, right?
I know, right? Because when you were in like junior high school, you were in your puberty, you calculate how tall you probably would be, right?
Yeah.
So I was calculating and I was like, realized, oh, he's not my real dad. Shit. Like, I've been
calculating. All my calculations are wrong.
Oh, no. So then my first question was, oh, so how tall is my real dad? And my mom just like I caught it off guard. She was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is this question? And I was like, yeah, how tall is he? Like, I really want to know. Yeah. But the revenge thing, so the first one is that she told me the truth about it. And then the second one is actually, before they officially split up, like my mom and my sister's dad, I went to dinner with my birth dad before they split up. Like me and my mom and my birth dad. But I didn't know, like at the time, didn't know he was actually my dad. I call him like uncle, like,
mm-hmm.
Like I was like, hi, uncle, and something. And then he sent us home. Then my dad told me, like a while after, my dad told me, oh, your mom is having an affair. And I was like, I didn't believe it. Like, I trusted my mom, I trusted my dad. I couldn't believe anything. I couldn't believe that they both done bad things. So I think that's what the kids would do. Like kids would just like believe in you no matter what.
I mean, yeah, your parents are adults that know what's going on and are doing the right thing in the world. To see them do bad things or you realize that they are also just flawed, that's hard to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do you think in all of this harmed you the most in this situation?
I think at first I didn't know how to deal with it and I couldn't focus on my study. I couldn't focus on training to become an acrobat because like when I just by myself and I just keep thinking about it and I remember I would cry like whole day. Just because the whole thing that happened and I was 14, I feel like no one could actually help me.
Yeah. I mean, did you, like this has got to be a hard thing to be dealing with. Was there anyone there for you when you were growing up then to be able to kind of help you through this situation?
I think many people tried, like they try to think in my shoe, but it's something not usual. So I don't blame them. I don't blame them for not trying in the way I want. But I definitely gonna say the way they were trying to comfort me was not what I want. Yeah. They keep telling me they keep telling me you should focus on your study. You should just forget about it, you know?
That sounds like an adult thing to say.
Are these adults trying
to help you at this time?
Yeah, I don't blame them for that. I definitely know that my teacher at the time, he probably would be like, oh, how the fuck can I deal with this? Like,
did you open up to your teachers?
I tried, but I was trying to, because, you know, in Chinese, we have this saying, say, your family skeleton is actually a shame.
Hmm.
You are not supposed to mention to other people outside of your family.
Do you think that was something that, like, made it hard for adults to be able to really help in any way? Is that this tradition of keeping that shame in the closet was expected?
I would say they didn't know how to deal with it because no one ever shared this before, and then they don't know. They don't actually, this is something cannot be Googled.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's also something that it's hard, as you were saying, it's hard for people to understand if they're looking at it from the outside. Like, what do you say to someone who's going through something that you don't have any experience with?
Yeah, exactly. That was like, yeah. So like, they have tried, I think. And I was very aggressive because I was like teenager in my puberty, and I was like, no one fucking understand me.
Do you think part of this had anything to do, like, the stress came from any kind of financial obligations? Do you feel that finances made things more difficult with your family?
Yeah, definitely. At the time, I already realized, because, like, they were always, like, when they were still together, they were arguing, like, every day about money, about housing, about, like, everything, right, about car loans. And then when they split up, I realized the situation is going to be worse. It's not going to be better, that's for sure. So that's when I had my first job.
Financially speaking, you think that they were going to be worse, not better?
Yeah. So that's when I started to have my first job.
You were 14 when you had your first job.
I was not legal.
Yeah, I've always known you were a hustler, Iris, but I did not know you were working when you were 14.
I was a criminal.
Criminal enterprise. What was your first job?
I was working in a Hong Kong restaurant. I was serving people, like, really nice dumplings.
Hey, there you go.
That was a really nice dumplings. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that having your own financial independence helped improve your relationship with your family at all?
Or I think so.
Yeah,
because, like, before, I was kind of dependent on them. I was still depending on them, and I need to ask them for money because at that time I wanted to learn English. So I wanted to go to French school. And then I remember asking, hey, mom, I really want to go to French school. Can you afford, like, I think it was like 4,000 NTD every month. It's not a lot, but it's a lot for her, especially if she had to raise two kids by herself. So she said no. And then I had my first job. I saved it, and I got my first laptop. And then I realized I just need to keep doing this. Like, I need to just keep having my own job and then be able to become independent financially. And after I actually made it, right now, like, after I made it when I was in high school, I just do everything. I just do anything I want. And I will tell, like, for example, I went to Europe. I just tell them, I was like, hey, I'm going to Europe. Ciao, guys. And then we kind of, yeah, like, I'm not asking them for anything. And I'm not asking them. I'm not asking their permission. So we kind of are friends right now.
You and your mom.
My mom and my dad are just, like, telling them what and I'm going to do, but I'm not actually asking them for suggestions or for money or for anything.
I mean, it's it seems like you kind of see yourself more as an equal and not as much as their child. Like you are making your own grown-up decisions regardless of their feelings about it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And I don't even call in mom and dad on my phone anymore. Like, my mom's name on my phone is Troublemaker.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. And then my dad is like, in like Snow White, there's a really small, like, there's an elf, easy to get angry by everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
he's that one. So.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. When's the first time that you think you like stood up for yourself?
Like against them?
Yeah.
I'm still trying though, but I think the first time I would say when I was 17. So it took me 3 years to learn how to, like, it took me 3 years to learn this is not my fault. Like, my family is fucked up and I have nothing to do with it. Like, I just need to be able to deal with it. And it's not my fault. And it's nothing I can do to change that. So yeah. Then after actually learning, I have the confidence to, I think I like, actually, after I realized that, I had the confidence to overcome everything that's difficult. I have the confidence to overcome difficulty in my life.
Well, I mean, then how do you then define a home then with this kind of, you know, this kind of structure? It seems a little chaotic. So for you, what's the most important thing to have in a home?
You can be able to be naked.
Oh, there you go.
A person can be naked. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like, I think naked is not only like physically naked, like mentally naked. Like, you can be able to. So for example, like, I move out this year and I can just cry in my room if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of just, if you want to let go your tears, or you can just let go something, you can just, you know, cry or have a mental breakdown in your own space. And you feel safe. You feel no one will judge you and no one is looking at you and to say something to you. So I think you got to be able to open up.
Do you think that this has changed your idea of like home and family? Well, I guess not family, but like home is more of an individual aspect rather than a family aspect. Like, for you, a home is a place for you to feel comfortable and to, you know, to find escape, where I think that others might find home as a place for family and coming together. It seems interesting that you find the solitude of home to be attractive.
Yeah, I think it's like, are they, like, usually people think of home as like your parents, and if you got into any troubles, and then you can just go back home, you can just go home, and then your mom will cook you a really nice soup, and your dad will hug you or something, or give you support. But my home would be just me. And I feel comfortable with it. Like, I don't want to see that when when I get into trouble or something, like, that would be more stressful than by myself.
How has this affected the way that you think of what a good father and a good mother is? Do you think that it's changed it in any way?
This is a really good question. Wait, why do you think, what's your definition of a good parent?
I think that's a good question. I often ask myself that, like, what is a good parent?
We can talk about that. Yeah, that would be cool. Next time we can do your episode.
Next time. Sure. Yeah. Let's leave this for another day then.
Yeah.
Well then, so yeah, how's your relationship with your mom right now?
I I think she knows that I'm mad at her because, oh, this year the bank sold my grandpa's house. So that's the reason why I had to move out this year. And she also has to move out, but she haven't. She's like kind of being lazy or something, but she knows I'm mad at her for that and everything, actually. But I'm not seeing her to, I know for people who have depression, it's hard to do something to, I don't actually know what's going on with their mind, and I don't want to claim that and understand or I'm an expert, but I think for a mother, she should be able to take more responsibility, especially my sister is only 15 right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, so my relationship with my mom is kind of fucked up. Like, we don't really talk anymore. And even my birthday was last month, and I say something like, I don't want to talk to you and I don't want to see you, but thanks for giving birth to me so that I can enjoy like how wonderful the world is. And that's all I say to her.
Wow. I mean, that's a pretty like intense level to have a relationship with your mom at. Do you think that, is it hard for you to be able to relate to the perspective of her having depression? Do you find it harder to empathize considering the problems that you've had growing up?
Because my brother, because of the fucked up family situation, he has depression and he's a bipolar. It's bipolar or none? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
He's a bipolar, right? So he's a bipolar, and also he has depression because of the fucked up family. So I don't really know how to relate to her. Like, I don't know what she's thinking right now. Because I don't think I had depression. I don't know. Yeah.
I think you're all right. I don't think you're depressed. You seem
I'm very happy.
But they say the people with depression are good at hiding it. So look at Robin Williams. He had depression. So, I mean, it's a hard thing to self-diagnose too, I think. Do you think that the situation has like changed your perspective of love? Like, do you feel safe and comfortable in relationships? Are you able to have safe and comfortable relationships?
I had 3 boyfriends before, like, so far in my life. I think the number will keep adding, but I don't know if I ever fall in love. Because, I don't really know what the definition of love is, actually.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. That's another debate as well.
What is love?
What is love?
Have you ever fallen in love with someone?
Me? Yeah, I'd say yes.
Okay.
I think maybe I fall in love with people too quickly.
Oh, you? You're just like, you just like dive into a love river.
Yeah, regular old lover boy.
Okay, for me, I'm always very like open with my partners. Like, I have really good communication with both my ex-boyfriend, like the American ex-boyfriend, and also the Dutch ex-boyfriend. We have a really good relationship together. Just we broke up because the long distance relationship is not going to work. But I don't think my family affects me to have a healthy relationship with anyone.
Do you think that your previous exes have loved you?
He say so.
Did you feel it?
I think yes, because he got super mad like every time my mom just gave me some shit, like he just got super mad at it. every time. And then he always listened to me. He always tried to understand what's in my mind. And that's hard because I'm a very weird person. Like my mind can jump into something real quick and then another thing. So I think he loved me because like I went to Netherlands like 1 year ago today. And he and his family like treated me really nicely, and he tried to help me to understand that what is a real family. So he gave me the feelings that I feel safe.
Do you think that these how do you feel when you experience that kind of love, or like experience what could be that feeling? Maybe it's not you having the feeling of love, but someone having the feeling of love either towards you or towards someone that you care about.
I think I have trust issue. I have trust issue. Yeah.
Is it you don't trust that it's real?
I don't really trust that's real. And well, I think the thing is I don't have daddy issue. It's probably because both my dad failed me, but I have trust issue, that's for sure. Like towards friends, like when people are treating me too nice, and I would be like, maybe they just want to use me.
So you think that even beyond even love, it's just in general with anybody you have an issue getting any kind of getting close or lowering your guard?
I'm kind of scared, I would say, but I'm trying to change that, and I'm trying to face to it. Yeah.
What do you think you needed the most while you're growing up that you weren't getting?
Before I turned 14, I had a big family with my grandparents and relatives and my mom and my dad. I had a really good childhood, but after I turned 14, I didn't have the financial support. I didn't have the like safety net.
Yeah,
safety net. Like after I turned 14, I kind of living a life that I know if one day I had a really serious disease, or like I'm sick or something for a very long time, I'm gonna be fucked up. Like, because my family is not going to support me, and my family cannot support me. So I feel like I always like very intense. It's because my family cannot provide the safety for me.
Is that when having the job was able to help you feel in more control?
Having a job is not, like having money is, yes. Having money in bank account is.
Absolutely. You know, like something that I feel like is a stigma of people who come up from fucked up families. It's easy to like go astray, you know, and without a lot of like social organizations or like the government, it seems like kids often, you know, make the wrong decision. But I feel like you have your shit together, and you're pretty productive. Like, what do you think helped keep you on the right path?
On the right path. And I on the right path.
I'd say you are. I mean, you seem like you make your own way. You keep your own job. I mean, you're starting a podcast. You've started a podcast studio. Like, you're a hustler. Like, I'd say that this is better than a lot of people.
I would say I think I'm trying to prove something, but I don't know what something means. I'm trying to prove to people that my family is fucked up, but it's not going to affect what I am going to do in my life. well, I want to go bungee jump. Like, I want to do bungee jump. I want to go like skydiving. Right? Like, I want to try so many things that it's not about my, it's actually about life. Like, there's a movie called Soul. Have you ever watched it?
I have not.
Oh, you should watch it. Okay. But anyway, it's like they have this like, quote. It's about like you should keep your spark. You should keep the spark in your life. So you should live your life. So we talk about this. Like we talk about the conspiracy theory before, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're probably going to die tomorrow.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So I think I have that YOLO motto. Like YOLO is my motto of my life.
Yeah, and so like you've been able to use kind of this negative family energy as something to prove, and you're a YOLO fan, so you're just gonna just do it, right?
I'm gonna have a dengue life.
Yeah, right? Live it to the fullest.
Okay, guys, so this is the first episode, part one, and then the part two will be released on next Friday. English episode will be released regularly on Fridays. Chinese will be on Mondays. And I do hope that if you understand both Chinese and English, you can go to listen to the Chinese one, because I found out while talking to different people in different language, I have different content to present. So, and I love it. Like, I think that's what makes both episodes special and unique. So, but anyway, I really hope you guys love this episode. And if not, I cannot do anything about it. Anyway, I will see you guys next week. Have a nice day.